short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart.
Recognize that song from the radio or Christian radio or otherwise. It's a song that's entitled Gratitude by Brandon Lake. I wasn't familiar with it myself. My granddaughter, Brooklyn, we were talking just this morning and about the message that I would be preaching this morning on the subject of gratitude. And she says, Grandpa, she says, you ought to play that song, Gratitude, she said, by Brandon Lake. And I said, well, I'm not too familiar with it. And she played it for me, and I said, you know, that is just exactly what we need to hear, what we need to put in our minds to set our souls and our hearts in line for just such a message this morning. I'm grateful. Last week I preached on gratitude also, and we're going to continue with that thought and with that theme this morning. I'm grateful that I feel 1,000% better this week than I did last week. Last week I was the walking death, I felt like, and I'm grateful to the Lord that He got me through and was able to bring the message last week, and that he's healed me, that I feel so much better, and I'm grateful for all of your prayers to help me feel better, and so feel 1,000% better. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you to the Lord for healing me and getting me to feel better. Richard Stearns. He's the president of World Vision. Many of you might have heard of World Vision organization. He was the president of World Vision, and he visited a church in Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti, nearly a year after the devastating earthquake that took place down there back in 2010, I believe it was. Now the church's building that he visited consisted of a tent made out of white tarps and duct tape. It was pitched in the midst of a sprawling camp for thousands of people still homeless from that earthquake. In the front row of that church sat six amputees, ranging in age from 6 to 60. They were clapping their hands and smiling as they sang song after song and lifted their praises and prayers to God. Their worship was full of hope and with thanksgiving to the Lord. No one was singing louder or praying more fervently than Demosi Lufine, a 32-year-old unemployed single mother of two. During the earthquake, a collapsed building crushed her right arm and her left leg. After 4 days, both limbs had to be amputated. But she was leading the choir. Here she was leading the choir on her, she was leading the choir on her, standing on her prosthesis and lifting her one remaining hand in the air in praise to God. How's that for gratitude? Following the service, Stearns met with Demosi and her two daughters, ages 8 and 10, who were living in a tent just 5 feet tall and perhaps 8 feet wide. She had lost her job, she'd lost her home, her two limbs, but she was deeply grateful because God had spared her life on January the 12th in 2010. She says, "He brought me back like Lazarus, giving me the gift of life." She believes that she survived the devastating earthquake for two reasons: to raise her two girls and to serve her Lord for a few more years. Richard Stearns comments, "It makes no sense to me as an entitled American who grouses in the smallest of inconveniences, a clogged drain or a slow Wi-Fi connection in my home. Yet here in this place, many people who had lost everything expressed nothing but praise and true gratitude to the Lord and Father of all." As we continue in our theme this week of gratitude, it's easy to notice that it doesn't always come with joyous and pleasant surroundings. Often, particularly if that gratitude is, as we discussed last week, true gratitude, filled with praise, glorifying our Heavenly Father for who He is, His character, His mercy and His grace and His sovereignty, His power. Loving Him with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, and grateful for Him and for all those things first. Ahead of the stuff. Putting those things first in line before we give gratitude for the things, for the blessings, for the stuff. Often we'll find that our gratitude is right in the midst of our adversity. Now, since the Son of God has died for us, then the least we could do is live for Him. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, said the great British athlete C.T. Studd, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. I think those are great words of wisdom for each of us as born-again believers to live by. In a sense, gratitude is an expression of modesty. Now, as Tim earlier explained, words from the Greek language, I'm going to deviate just a little bit this morning and get into the Hebrew language just a little bit. The word used for gratitude in Hebrew is hodah, which is also used or translated to confession. They use the same word for gratitude and for confession. To offer thanks or gratitude is to confess dependence, to acknowledge that someone else has the power to benefit you in some way, to admit that your life is better because of their efforts. The two just seem to melt together, don't they? They even though they're two different words, but they interlock together. They seem to support one another. Such a frame of mind is sadly missing in much of our civilized society that we live in today. You know, we generally like our lives to be well ordered, don't we? We like them. We don't like to have interruptions come along interrupt those things, those well-ordered lives that we think we have. We've got everything just right in the right order, and we think we got a plan for everything, don't we? Then something comes along and upsets our chessboard, and everything goes all the pieces go scattered far and wide, and we try to pick things back up and put them back in their proper places, but they don't quite fit the right way. They don't fit the way that they were to begin with. And we don't like that. We don't like disruption. We like to know what's next. We need to have a reasonable idea what to expect around the next corner. So when things happen that don't coincide with our expectations, maybe call them detours to our regular route. It tends to cause us stress and anxiety. I never saw that one coming, we might say. That wasn't part of my plan. Stuff happens, doesn't it? Stuff happens in the normal flow of life. So often those detours won't wait for us to find a convenient time slot to schedule them into. They know no specific cultural or historic context. A response is required, and it needs to be right now, not later. God offers us opportunities. He offers us choices that require a response right now. Philip Yancey, in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, says it this way. He says, often a work of God comes with two edges, great joy and great pain. And in a matter-of-fact response, Mary, the mother of Jesus, embraced both. Mary was a teenage girl, a virgin, pledged to be married to Joseph. They had a plan in life. They had an orderly plan in life. And I'm sure that it didn't include being awakened by an angel in the middle of the night to the news that she was pregnant, and not in the usual way. If you have your Bibles this morning, open with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 26 through 38. Now, I know that Thanksgiving is just coming up this week, but this text this morning we're going to be looking into kind of ties together both Thanksgiving, the gratitude of Thanksgiving, as well as a good introductory into the Christmas season that's upon us. That'll be right on, right following up here. Okay, let's read, beginning with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And I might add right there, greetings, favored one, in the Latin Vulgate is Ave Maria, which translates to, again to greetings Mary, greetings favored one, or greetings to Maria, Mary. The Lord is with you. But she is very perplexed. She was very perplexed at the statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, even though Mary was God's chosen vessel through which to bless the world with his coming, make no mistake, this was a pretty serious interruption. Jumping for joy was not her first reaction. But she was very perplexed at this statement in verse 29. This announcement was worthy of worry. Worry. Why worry? Isn't the birth of a new baby, a new bundle of joy, isn't that something to be happy about? Well, not when you're not married, not when in this kind of environment, in this kind of society. First of all, she was espoused to be married. She was supposed to be married to a man, and now she's pregnant, and it's not by him. To a man certainly justifiably would wonder how this could possibly have happened. There's going to be some serious doubt going on here. Joseph is going to be wondering, what in the world is going on? The shame that this is going to bring to Joseph and to his family would be entailed. There'd be also the worry and the anxiety of her own safety. She'd be viewed by society, especially Jewish society, as an adulterous girl, deserving of, by Jewish law, death by stoning. They didn't mess around with this kind of thing back then. She wasn't just going to be a mere outcast. This could be, by Jewish law, it would be worthy of death by stoning. Now that's rather inconvenient. Not the least of her worries would be those of any teenage first-time mother. Young girl, we don't know exactly how old she was. It says that she was a young girl, and according to secular text and things like that, they estimate her to be somewhere in the anywhere from 13 to 16 years old. So for a young unmarried girl like that, and if he puts her away, you know, divorces her in their wording, you know, how are you going to take care of this young child? You know, especially looked at as an outcast of society, taking care of it, having the money to take care of it and to feed it and to nurture this child. And a pregnancy isn't a short-term ordeal. A baby doesn't just get dropped on your doorstep by the stork. A pregnancy is not a short-term ordeal that's easily concealed. Yancey goes on to describe in his book that the situation is as 9 months of awkward explanations, the lingering scent of scandal, he calls it. Questions to this same scenario rarely change throughout history. How do we explain this to our parents? Gabriel is perfectly honest with her, telling her straight up what's about to happen. He doesn't mince any words. But he offers her the encouragement that God is with you. God is with you. What better encouragement could anybody give to someone, no matter how terrible the news that's being given to them, no matter how bad things are looking, the outlook is going to be, how much better encouragement could anyone give you than the Lord will be with you, God will be with you. This is encouragement that's not unlike that offered to any one of us when God offers to redirect our lives. When things happen in our lives, when we lose a loved one, when we lose our jobs, when something happens medically speaking, whatever it might happen to be, and we think, you know what, everything, the world is coming crashing down on our lives. How am I ever going to live through this? God says, God's word says, God will be with you. God will be with you through this. You don't have to live, you don't have to go through this alone. That's something that the world cannot rest in. The world doesn't have that, but you do. There's an interesting correlation here between Mary and her son. That maybe it's hereditary, and maybe it's just a family trait, as they say, an old family tradition. Being blamed for something that they didn't do. Mary faced consequences for an apparent guilt, having done nothing wrong. And Jesus, 33 years later, would suffer and die for sins that he never committed. In the span of a few minutes, Gabriel's news took Mary from one end of the emotional spectrum to the other. It's likely that Mary cried both tears of sadness and fear, and tears of great joy that Almighty God, the Creator, had chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah. Her response was ironically similar to Jesus' reply in the Garden of Gethsemane. Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. In verse 38. Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah, the shepherds and the wise men, all had their lives drastically interrupted, but this certainly wouldn't be the last. Jesus continues to interrupt lives yet today. But gratitude is something that we all want to grasp and look at as great. We need to be ready for great, to be grateful in spite of our adversities. I remember walking into the emergency room many years ago to receive the hardest, most difficult news of my entire life. It wasn't my own diagnosis telling me I had a terminal disease or anything of the like. For me, it was worse. It was the end of the life of another. As I processed what the trauma of all this, what it meant was for me, for my own health and my own future, I didn't feel very thankful at the time. Not for this loss. But I was grateful for the comforting presence of my Heavenly Father at the time. He was all I had to turn to. And turn to Him I did. For me, it never was a question. Would He be there for me or when these days presented themselves? In this overwhelming adversity, He promises just like He promised Mary. The Lord is with you. But I understand the magnitude of the darkness, the loneliness of such an adversity, that if it weren't for His mighty presence, I'd have been in pure despair with no one else to turn to. But I can't say that I can fathom how Mary felt as a young girl being visited by that angel. Nobody can know that except her. She would become pregnant with God's Son as an unmarried virgin. How could she explain such a thing? What would become of her? I'm not sure gratitude would have been my first response, but Mary pushed past her fears and thanked God by singing from the depths of her spirit. She remembered that God is still God in good times and in bad. Mary focused on God's blessing and how he called her for a special purpose. God brought goodness from her difficult circumstances, and He will do the same for each and every one of us. Then she sings her song of gratitude, of thanksgiving to the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 50. She sings, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has had regard. He has had regard for the humble state of His bondservant. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One, capital M, capital O, the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him." God is sovereign, you know. He's in control. He makes the plans. Now, He already has told us that His ways and His thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. We know that. So for us to figure out what His plans are and His thoughts are is futile. So His sovereign ways supersede our important plans, our interruptions, in other words, the interruptions that come along, and God has something that's more important than those puny plans that we had all stacked up. We don't always understand that, and so we see it as adversity in our life. even though God has told us also in His Word that He will always be with us. He will never forsake us. The Lord is with you. We may not understand why God chooses the things that He does or allows to happen in our lives, but we must understand that nothing takes God by surprise. Did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows. He's read the end of the book. He knows the end and the outcome of each and every one of our lives. He knows the decisions we'll make. He knows, and it's why He's chosen all of us. He's chosen us, and He loves us. And He will guide you. He has a plan for our lives if we will but walk in the light that He's given us. So we might not understand why He chooses the things that He does or allows to happen, but we must understand that nothing takes God by surprise. And when adversity comes our way, God is ready to be there for us. This much must be understood. He chooses who He will choose to be involved in His good purposes, His plans. And for that, we can be most grateful. The fact that we're in His plan, that we're involved in the things that He wants us to do. And when He interrupts us and says, I've got something special for you to do, we can be excited about that. We can be joyful about that. We can be so grateful for that He's involving us in His plan. And for that, we can be so grateful. We should all be elated that He would choose to involve us, to call us according to His purposes. According to Romans 8:28, I'm so grateful that God chose me, that He called me out of the miserable existence that was my life apart from Him. Aren't you? I mean, He could have picked out any donkey someplace to do for Him what he's chosen for me. But He didn't stop there. He involves us in His purposes. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. When I think of that, even though I may be in the midst of what I see as terrible adversity, I realize that I belong to God. I'm His property. He's invested greatly in me to the tune of His only begotten Son. And I'm called according to His purpose. In the words of Mary, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And again in 46 and 47, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. I hope that's your prayer. I hope that is your that is your gratitude this morning. It's not just the stuff. That is your gratitude to God for who He is and for what He's done to involve you in His purposes this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. We praise You for who You are and for, excuse me, for including us, Lord. For thinking enough of us, Lord, that you've not only saved us, but you've put us in your plan. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We love you. We pray, Lord, that we can be that you will make us alert enough to be wise to see the light, to see the plan in the way that you have for us to live, Father, the guidance that you have for us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And this morning, I pray that if there is one here that has never submitted to your guidance this morning, that has never given their life wholly and totally to you, Father, I pray that this will be the day of salvation for them, Father. Lord, let them give completely to you. Let them repent of their sins and be submissive to baptism for the remission of their sins, Father, to receive the Holy Spirit into their hearts, Lord. Father, that this will be the day of salvation for them. They can walk out of this place a brand new creation in you, Lord. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.